Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
What up, it's your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hat. At a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. This is kind of a special show for me. I don't usually pop off on a sports show on Wednesday afternoon, but I couldn't get this guest on last night for his schedule, and I've always wanted to have him on the show. With that being said, I want to welcome the one and only Joey Angelo. Joey, what's happening, brother?
What's going on, Don? Thanks for having me on.
Just trying to keep happy about life, man. Keep motivated. Keep positive. How, Joey, since the quarantine and all of our lives have really changed, I know it's kind of a redundant question. You know, what was the greatest takeaway or the greatest aspect that you've been able to pull away from the bad and hold it near and dear to your heart?
Honestly, it would just have to really, it's really shown me and my family how blessed we are in a time like this. I have the opportunity to be a part of my kids' education with the online schooling, and just being able to hang out with the wife and kids and not worry about stress and money and everything. It was a nice break away from the real world.
Yeah, I see you there. You know, like I said, I'm 56 years old. None of us have ever walked this path in life. But, you know, you had a tremendous part of your career that was just starting to take off when the virus hit the country and the world. You know, now that you look back, how much have you realized, Joey, that this sport has truly meant to you? How much has this sport truly blessed you? And where would you like to take it moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the cusp. I'm coming off a big win in October, and I was getting ready to fight in March. I didn't think I would take the bare knuckle the way I did, just because I was so prominent in mixed martial arts. But I got to tell you, Don, I love bare knuckle. You know, it's I feel like it's what I should have been doing all along. And as for where the sport will take me, I'm hoping, and I say this over and over again, I'm hoping to see my first six-figure fight pay with bare knuckle. You know, it means a lot to me as a dad, a father of four, and a husband that I can support my family with doing what I love. That's pretty much the goal for me.
Yeah, I feel you there, bro. And I think you deserve it. You know, it's like people don't really get a true understanding of what an athlete has to go through to become a champion. They don't understand that path, what it takes to totally dedicate who you are to the sport and the creation of yourself in the sport. I mean, you're basically creating a brand around you. You have to sell yourself to the world. You have to show the world that you are in that position. You have that right, and you've earned that right to command a high dollar amount or be in the promotion. When you look at it in that aspect, how hard is this fight business and branding of a fighter?
If you have the right head on your shoulders and you have the right team around you, it should be relatively easy. And through me, it was trial and error and, process of elimination. And I finally had the team around me to help me build the Joey Angelo or the Cinderella Man brand. I'm looking, when I talk about my brand, I'm looking at life after fighting. And that's where a lot of fighters, I feel, fall short. They're living so much in the moment, but when it's all said and done, they're only left with a few bucks in their bank account and, you know, an aching body, and they can't really do much. So I have the right people around me to where I can create, hopefully, generational wealth for me and my family.
Yeah. Now, you've been part of bare knuckle fighting championships for a minute. You know, what does it mean for you to be a part of the first aspect, the new era aspect of bare knuckle? And what did it mean for you to have Dave Feldman and Nate Shook and that organization look at you and give you the kudos and the props that you deserve and give you opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. I when I tell people what I do, and they, because everyone's keen on like the major sports like the UFC, NFL, this and that, and they really don't know what BKFC is. A lot of people, and I tell them, it is the, if you're going to play football, you want to play for the NFL. Well, if you want to bare knuckle box, you want to fight for the bare knuckle fighting championships. It's just, that's the cream of the crop. That's the top echelon of bare knuckle combat. So for me to get a call from those guys, and I think what happened was they watched my fights. I fought for another organization, my first ever bare knuckle fight against Julian Layton, who's a big name, and I lost the split decision. And they saw how gritty I was. I didn't really have a name. I just kind of came from nowhere and towed the line and basically showed the world what I'm capable of. Even though I lost that fight, I feel like I've gained and I've won so much more from that notoriety. And that, you know, like I said, it's with the call from Dave Feldman and Nate Shook.
Yeah. And Julian ain't no joke. Just the other night, he took Thiago Alves all, you know, all the way, and it went to a decision. You know, I think Julian won that fight. That's my personal opinion. I stated it on my page. I'll state it on my show. You know, so Julian, he's not no joke. Julian's been a friend of mine for a long time. You know, Joey, you look at the future, and it's kind of crazy. And a statement you made to me made me realize what type of warrior you are. I had Christine Ferrier on last night. I had Reggie, you know, Barnett Jr. Reggie Barnett talked about coming from adversity in life. And Christine talks about how it isn't, you know, boxing wasn't her thing, Muay Thai wasn't her thing, MMA wasn't her thing, but bare knuckle boxing, it defined her. Would you say that the sport of bare knuckle, since you did have a promising MMA career, would you say that the sport of bare knuckle truly defined Joey Angelo?
Absolutely. As a purest form of combat, it definitely has. Like I said, I feel like I should have been doing this all along. And granted, I don't think I've wasted my time in MMA and all that fun stuff, but I definitely wish this was around 10 years ago.
Right. You know, you've had some tremendous moments in your career. And, you know, I watched Juan Archuleta grow from nothing, and then he became a four-time division champ, seven-time world champion, only to step up into Bellator and everybody go, who is Juan Archuleta? You know, people don't realize that world titles are in different promotions. It's kind of different the way they do it. But when Joe Angelo gets this next opportunity, and it will come, how do you plan on proving to the world that this is truly who you are?
I don't think a 10-minute fight can really prove who I am, and that's why I love social media. And I know you're on my social media, and I post about three things: my wife, training, and my children. And that's all that matters to me. And I go hard on all three. You know, I constantly improve on being a husband every day, a father, and a fighter. And I think that's what honestly defines any human being, not just an athlete. But so I think with me constantly improving myself as a human being each and every day, the end result is just that 10 minutes. But you know as well as I do, the work is off cameras. You know, just the end result is the only thing that people get to see. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited, and I want to show the world that, you know, I'm no joke at all. You know, 185, 95, or 205, I'm ready to fight anybody.
Truly to me, what you just said is pride, passion, and perseverance. Those three things that mean so much to you in life. That's really pride, passion, and perseverance. That's what defines you. You know, when I go back and I look at your fights, and I see a tremendous athlete, I see a dedicated man to the sport. You know, you've had several tremendous great outings. You know, what does it mean for you to create this legacy and continue this legacy for your family? Because I know you love your family so much.
It means the world to me. I've had every reason, and like other fighters, I've had every reason to not fight. I've had, you know, the negativity, the, you know, why do you like getting punched? I've had the, there's no money in it. You know, especially after my last fight, I came home from Tampa, and those who saw it, I had a nasty cut under my left eye, and it swelled up pretty bad. And two of my youngest kids cried seeing me because they're not used to seeing daddy like that. So, you know, I had to explain to them. I've had every reason to quit and to reconsider my professional plans. And it's something in me that I have to fight. I have to prove to my children that no matter what, you can still work a full-time job, be a father, fighter, and husband, and still achieve what you have. There's no excuses at all. And that's what I'm setting an example for. My children are in the gym with me all the time. And I think that it's monkey see, monkey do. If they see their father doing this, I think they'll be set up for success in their lives as well.
That's righteous. I like that, bro. You remind me a lot of Kung Lee. I'm sorry, but your thought process and your mentality is that of Kung Lee. He's a very respectful man. He respects the sport. You know, homie, sometimes in life we see reflections. We, you know, walk by that puddle in the park, and we look down, and for that brief moment, we get a look into who we are. Who does Joey Angelo see?
When I look in the mirror?
Yeah.
You know, I see, like I said, I see someone who's made a lot of mistakes in his past. I see someone who is not perfect, but will strive for perfection. And the good thing about perfection is you'll never achieve it. You'll only strive for it. And that's what keeps me driving every single day. You know, and I see a man that's going to make it. You know, I have no choice but to make it. I have too much riding on me. And, you know, I have too many eyes looking at me, you know, especially my own household, to be anything but a success.
See, that's tremendous, and I love that about you. You know, it's funny. I like to tell this story because it plays relevance on both sides of the fence in the sport, because you have a family. I had a fighter, I'm not going to name him, but I had him on my show, and he went 0-6 in Bellator. And he asked if he could come on my show and give his farewell speech. And, you know, I asked him, why do you want to come on my show and give a farewell speech? He said, because I want to prove to my children in life when you set forth to do something, you see it through, no matter what the outcome is. And I gave the gentleman an opportunity to say his farewells on my show. And a lot of the sport attacked me, critiqued me, and, you know, but that's what's tremendous about life, and I see that in you. Even though you're not 0-6, your commitment is to your family. Your commitment is to show your family once you set out to do something, you see it through. Would you say that's a fair assessment into Joey Angelo?
Absolutely. Like I said, I don't have many goals in life. I try not to spread myself too thin. But once I have a goal, I don't stop until I attain, you know, said goal. And that's just where, like you said, the perseverance and the dedication comes from. But it has a lot to do with, you know, who's riding on it and who's depending on my success.
You know, the sport's starting to open back up. Fighters are starting to get opportunities. Joe, if you could make a statement to the promotions, the promoters, about why they should have you on their next card, what would that statement be, brother?
You know, the statement would be, you know, I'm all heart. You know, everyone in this game is tough. I mean, we're bare knuckle boxers. Toughness shouldn't even be a question. But what you see on my social media, where you see just over here talking to me, I separate myself from all the other fighters because first and foremost, I'm an athlete. I break it down into, you know, inches and centimeters and slow motion. I literally, if I can make 1 inch of progress a day, that's the goal. But I'm not, you know, after my last fight, I got flack for not knocking my guy out, even though I fought a tough opponent in Walter Barros. You know, even Feldman, he's the first guy I went after, you know, after the fight. I looked for him and I said, what do you think? And he gave me that little, you know, and I said, you know, I know he wants knockouts, but, you know, some fights don't go that way. But I'm always willing to toe the line. I'm always willing to be the first one in the center of the ring. And I'm the Cinderella man. I am a blue-collar fighter. I'm a union worker. You know, I have a family. And, you know, like I said, I love, and I call myself the Cinderella man because I think, you know, I relate a lot to James J. Braddock, one of my favorite boxers. Also, I feel like bare knuckle was my Cinderella story. It is my second chance at life, so it kind of goes hand in hand in two different aspects. But everyone knows me. It's always an exciting fight. I'll never not leave the fans out of their seats. So, you know, I'm always worth the watch.
Amen to that. You know, any promoters listening to the show today, because I know they do, go and check out some of his fight footage. You're going to be surprised. You know, and you're not faint on fighting the best of the best in the sport. That's one thing that really had you on the show today is you're not afraid of anybody. You're willing to fight anybody. You just want that opportunity. You know, but I'm going to let it slide this time because it's cool, because it's you. And the way you are in life, you deserve the Cinderella Man. You know, you're the only second fighter that I know that calls himself the Cinderella Man, but the way you put your story, it fits you. The only other one is Rami Zayden Abraham, the son of Palestine, the Cinderella Man, one of the greatest Muay Thai fighters to ever live. And I think it's cool that you've picked up that same name because it has a reasoning behind it. It invokes who you are. It's your story. Your story of your life is in your name, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Man, it's what bare knuckle did for me.
Well,
it
did the same for Christine Ferrier. It did the same for a lot of fighters. You know, I talked to so many fighters, and they said, you know what? All those other sports worked for me. I came to bare knuckle. It defined me. Joey, what's it like for you, in your own thought, to be face-to-face and toe the line with somebody?
It's honestly, Don, I get a little nervous in the back hallways, and then when I walk out, nerves are still there. But once I get face to face with my opponent, and you could even see it at the last weigh-ins, I was kind of hyping my opponent up to punch me in the face. Like, I was like, let's give him a show tomorrow, this and that. The fact that I'm not nervous, I'm not scared, I don't doubt myself at all, is all key elements that I say to myself, that this proves that I'm in here. I have nothing but fun. I'm supposed to be here. There's nothing else in the world, or no place else I'd rather be in that moment than in that, you know, in the squared circle. And that really resonates with me, and that shows me that I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm not supposed to clock in and out. You know, I'm not supposed to do anything else except for not only chase my dreams, but catch it and strangle it until I get everything I want out of it. And, you know, it just happens to be that I'm good at it too. I know there's a lot of guys out there that aren't that good at fighting, you know, and they're, you know, they haven't won a fight in a while, but they always show up to fight because it's exactly what they feel like they should be doing. I just happen to be fortunate enough to where I'm good at it and I'm winning.
And humble about it. You know, that's one thing I appreciate about, and I'm not gonna lie, bro. You get all these fighters. I've thrown Colby Covington off my show. You know, I won't tolerate fighters come on and being egotistical or, you know, treating others in the sport so cruelly. And I threw them off my show. I have no, you know, regrets in doing so, because there's fighters like you. There's fighters that, like you, that truly care about what they do. They do it for a reason, and they represent the sport well. You know, if you had to write down in a journal or a book, per se, on this new chapter in Joey Angelo's life after COVID and getting these opportunities that are going to be coming in the future, what statement or what paraphrase would you put on that page in the second chapter of Joey Angelo?
Yeah. All that I would say is leave no stone unturned.
Amen.
You know, exhaust every opportunity that comes my way. You know, I don't believe in luck, you know, at all. You know, they say a man makes his own luck, but luck is preparation and opportunity. That's it.
Couldn't have said it better myself, homie. You know, I know there's a couple bare knuckle promotions out there. I know you love BKFC. You know, if an opportunity does arise, who would Joey Angelo love to step in the squared circle with?
Well, I've called out Hector Lombard multiple times. I even stepped out of my element, and I took a page out of Feldman's book, and I tried kind of talking smack. And like I said, the Colby Covingtons of the world, they're successful because they're arrogant and they're this and that, but you're going to pay to watch them either win or lose. Me, I'm kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because I don't like to talk too much crap. I don't like to, you know, shame others, because I'm better than nobody else. But we are in the entertainment business as well as the fight business, so I went out of my element and I talked a little crap to Hector Lombard, because I think he is easily the best guy between 195 and 205. I'm not calling out guys that haven't won in a while. I'm calling out guys that that I feel that would make me a better fighter, win, lose, or draw at the end of that fight. And who wouldn't want to fight a legend like Hector? You know,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, Chris Sorrow, I would love to fight Chris Sorrow. I think he's a hell of a fighter. I think he has a lot of growing to do as a fighter. But I think he ran up to heavyweight. He's a big boy, naturally, so I think he went up to heavyweight. But that's another fighter I was looking forward to facing at 205. There's a couple guys there that I like. They're big draws. They win by knockout, and I feel like I'm the key component to expose these guys. I'm just waiting for my opportunity. So all I can do is while I'm waiting for that phone call, all I can do is just be prepared.
Yeah. You know, that was a good quote. You know, good way to put that. I was going to ask you that question anyway, because, you know, before pre-COVID, I guess you could say, or pre-shutdown, you said that would be your last fight at light heavyweight and that you were going to go to 185. So now are you going to stay at light heavyweight, or are you going to still consistently find your way back down to 185?
I think all of my bare knuckle fights except for one have been at 85. The only one I didn't fight at 85 was I fought that on like 2 weeks' notice. I make 85. I feel the best at 185 when I have a full camp. Everyone who knows me knows that I walk around at 215 just because I enjoy life. I'm Italian and Irish, so I like my food, and I like an occasional beer. Cardio-wise, I'm always ready. I'm always ready cardio-wise. It's just the weight. But listen, I don't know many guys on the BKFC roster that will fight at three different weight classes. I even told Nate, if you get me the right opponent at heavyweight, which might be Chris Sorrow, because I walk around at heavyweight, I would fight at a fourth weight class. I was like, I just want to fight. And that's just comes down to it. I want to have a decent camp, because there's a lot of times where they call me on, these promotions will call me short notice. Hey, man, can you fight? That's rough.
You're breaking up a little bit, brother.
We'll wait. Can you hear me?
Now I can. You broke up on that last sentence.
Yeah, I just said.
I can't hear you at all now, bro. Maybe we lost him.
Fights. Nope.
I couldn't hear none of that, bro. You might want to take the headset off.
Hold on. Hey, Don, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you perfect now.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I have very limited service at my house. But yeah, I mean, 185 is home for me, but I like pushing myself and fighting those bigger guys.
Yeah, I like
my 205.
At 155. I like you 205, bro. I'll admit it, but your last fight in BYB, that was a hell of a knockout. If you listen to the commentators, and it's posted for my fans and listeners of the show, if you go to Joey's page, it's a few posts down, but it's one of his older fights. I think isn't it from last winter, Joey?
Yeah, last April.
Last April. Yeah, you hear the commentators say, I don't know, I'm not even going to get into that part of it, but you pull off a walk-away home run. What was that moment like for you? Because he was the aggressor, and you fed him. That's the best way to put
it. Yeah, he was a Wyoming native. He's from that, I fought him in Wyoming. It was my first time fighting in such a small triangle or trigon is what BYB calls it. And he just kind of came forward really rough, a lot more aggressive than I thought he was. But it was just sitting back, kind of rocking back and forth on my heels and just waiting to plant that left hand. I mean, I have a big left hand. It's not on display a lot because, I like to keep my jab and my lead hook active, but I do have a big left and it felt good. It felt like mission accomplished. It was like a 48-second fight.
Hell of a fight. I was like, I gotta admit, after I watched it, I was like, damn.
because you
got set down real quick.
Yeah, that fight was a lot. I got laid off. Not many people know, but I got laid off from the union about 2 weeks before that fight. So, that fight took place April 5th. I was getting married in Hawaii April 11th. So my wife was pissed at me. She said, what are you doing? You're taking a bare knuckle fight a week before our wedding. And I said, babe, don't worry. I will make this quick. I promise you. No black eyes, no nothing. I'll make it quick. And I needed the money because I got laid off. And I needed to get out of there quickly because I didn't want a mad Latina when I got home. So it worked out.
Hey, I'm married to a 5 foot Mexican myself, bro. So I completely understand. I've learned to sleep with both my eyes open, homie. Both eyes.
Absolutely. But yeah, I was under a lot of pressure in that fight, and it was just more of a, wow. Okay, I finally did it. I fought at a weight class I never fought before. before. It went great. Now I'm going to go get married, you know?
Yeah. That's so cool, man. Oh, I love it. You know, Dave Feldman, I know you or Nate Shook are probably listening. Now, give this man an opportunity. You know, Nate, you always ask my advice, and I've never steered you wrong. After watching your fights and hearing your story, you know, it's your destiny. It's what needs to be. You know, you're humble, you're real, and you want to give the fans what they've come to see or what they paid for. Who is it in your life that truly instilled the aspects of who you are? Because you're a well-defined man, and there had to be a great mentor behind Joey Angelo.
Yeah, I've had a few of them. You know, first and foremost, it's my father, because no one that I know works harder and is more successful than my dad. That's what means the world to me. And then, I've had the pleasure of being, you know, under the tutelage of Sean Tompkins and Kevin Randleman. And with Sean Tompkins' wits and his fight IQ and Randleman's intensity and just, you know, knack to just, you know, grab life by the horns, those two guys have inspired me the most. You know, I'll always be Team Tompkins and Team Monster. So those three gentlemen they're my idols, and I've taken, you know, bits and pieces from them. And my dad's in Vegas now visiting me and the grandkids, and, you know, he's 53 years old, and we just did a 5-mile run up Red Rock Canyon, and he beat me. So he's always pushing me.
That's so dope, bro. You know, yeah. You mentioned Randleman, Coleman, and all them from back in the day. They're my boys. Those are some good people, you know, and you've had some great mentors, but your father being your number one mentor is tremendous. I didn't know what it was like to have a father. I had a man it's kind of a strange story. I'll tell it real quick. I usually don't like to tell stories about myself, but I graduated military school at the age of 16. I went back to California and thought my mother was going to accept me with open arms. Well, that didn't happen, and I was homeless, and I was living in my car and eating out of a dumpster. And I was sitting on the stoop of a building one day, and this elderly gentleman had walked by. And he said, "What's wrong?" And I kind of told him, "You know, F you." And he sat down, and he said, "No, I'm a preacher, bro. I'm cool. I'm not like that." He said, "Why don't you tell me your story?" So I did, and he offered me a job. Not only a job, but a place to live. And I took him up on that. Well, a year later, come to find out, I met his granddaughter, and not through him, but through a third party. And that was the one that I would end up marrying. So God sent that man to me to change my life. And he was one of the greatest men that I've ever met to date. You know, so I know what you mean about your father. It's tremendous. Nobody can replace them. Nor can you appreciate anybody more than your father. You know, moving ahead in the sport, though, you know, there was somebody who thanked me for having you on my show. So what does it mean to have the support system through your teammates, through your gym? What does that add to Joey Angelo?
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, whether it's you know, anyone, they take time out of their day, and they make sure that I'm 1% better each and every day. And, you know, it's just such an honor and such a blessing that people take time out of their day to, out of their lives to you know, to basically improve me. And I hope I can only just, you know, pay it forward and return the favor. And my circle is extremely small, especially when it comes to my manager and my coaches, because I want to elevate them with me. You know, I want them to reap all the benefits and all the rewards that I do. So it just means a lot that people are always reaching out, changing schedules, you know, canceling stuff just to make sure that I'm able to get what I need in this very short-lived career, you know, in bare knuckle. So I'm just unbelievably blessed, and you know, I don't know. I take advantage of every opportunity I can have. Yeah.
Well, because this is, honestly, I've been doing radio for 17 years, and this is the first time I've actually had, you know, people behind the fighter reach out and thank me for having you on the show. I just, that tripped me out. It's never happened before. So it shows what a testament you are to others in their life and what you give back. This is a lot about you. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show. It happened through a comment, but you ended up on the show anyway because you, like you said, you were on a Facebook Live with me before. But I want you to get opportunities in the sport. I want the sport to reach out to you and give you these chances that you so deserve. Joey, the sport needs more like you. They truly do. You're a blessing. You're respectful. And you're family motivated. What more could you ask for in a warrior? You know, in these final aspects of the show, you know, we already talked about what you would say to the promoters, but what is the message to the fans from the Cinderella Man going into the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021?
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, the fans and the fighters, I want to express that you don't have to be a Covington or a McGregor, or, you know, you don't have to talk crap and belittle your IQ and belittle yourself just to sell tickets. I think if you stay true to heart and you literally fight for purpose and not for notoriety, I think that it'll pay for itself tenfold. I think that if you stay true to yourself and don't sell out, I think it's at first it might be a little hard to get notarized, and at first might even be hard enough to take you seriously, but in the end, if you stay true to yourself, that's the biggest reward and compensation you can get. So give the blue collar fighter a chance for the fans, and for the fighters, don't sell yourself short. Just stay true to yourself and chin down, hands up, and just grind it out.
That's definitely. Joey, with there being a shortage of fighters because some countries can't travel to the United States, is it totally off the table if an organization like Bellator or the UFC gave you a call? Is that aspect of the fight world completely off the table?
No. I mean, I'm under contract with BKFC, but I don't think Feldman, if I did get a call of that magnitude, I don't think Feldman would basically keep me from fighting anywhere. Listen, I was Ion Kutalaba's main training partner for this whole camp until he got COVID. He needed a southpaw, and, you know, we put it on each other. And he doesn't speak a lick of English, but when we were sitting in the ice bath at the UFC Performance Institute, he had his translator, Artem, which is his friend. He's talking to me. He goes, I don't know how you're not in the UFC. You would clean up at 205 or 185. You know, he just thought I was a boxer until I put shin pads on. So I'm very much a mixed martial artist, and I'm very much an athlete. So if I still got a call from these bigger promotions, you know, I would have to sit down with Dave and talk to him about our contract. But I think, you know, it's always on the table.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I ask is because I think you have a bright future in this sport. I see this, you know, you made the statement of you have a circle of friends, and brother, it's a circle of acquaintances, but a dot of friends. And after being in the sport for 24 years, I think you understand what I'm saying, and I think you feel the same way. You know, I'm an extrovert every weekend, but I'm an introvert when I'm away from the sport because I have my family too. You know, Joey, it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to share who you are, not only just in the fight world, but your sentiments, your thoughts away from the sport. If there's any final messages that you would like to give to the world before I let you, you know, have the mic and say something to your sponsors, is there anything else you'd like to say to the fans or the sport before? before we give out your sponsors, bro?
Yeah, man, I just want to say in a time of need, you know, selflessness goes a long way. A lot of people are hurting right now. And I think if people open their eyes and their hearts, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people in need right now. So I think the world needs compassion more than anything right now. So, you know, yeah, that's pretty much my message. Just overall, just, you know, lend a helping hand, pay it forward, especially now.
It's so funny you say that, because that happened to me today. I went to get my lunch and went to pay for it, and somebody already had, and they paid, I guess they left a ton of money for, they fed everybody. The lady said she didn't even know if she was going to be able to buy, you know, spend all the money on people getting food, but I'm sure she would. But what I did was pulled $100 out of my pocket, and I added to the kitty to give back to people that were coming to pick up their food. You know, I don't have much, but your words are very true. No matter what is going on around us, we can't forget compassion. We can't forget who we are and what creates us, you know, our feelings as people. Because you don't know if somebody's got the last $3 and they're going to eat, and that night they may commit suicide because they feel that they're lost, but they go and they go to spend the last $3 to get something to eat, only to find out that their meal is paid for. You might just give them a little bit of hope to hold on for another day. See, bro, that's what I love about you. You're so dope in that aspect, man. You get the heart of a giant. And I'm truly honored you came on the show. I'm going to pass the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, bro.
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, I'd love to, you know, I'd like to thank you for having me on your show. It's a, I don't even want to call it a show because I'm pretty religious. I almost want to call it a sermon, because I feel like after we hang up, I just get so much out of it, and then I wind up just deep. I appreciate you, Don. And, you know, first and foremost, you know, my coaches, you know, my manager, Alessandro Gelke, my coaches, Mark from Big Shot Boxing, and Darren Hall from Real Absolution here in Vegas. And everyone that likes, comments, shares anything on my Facebook or Instagram, I love it. You know, I'm not much of an, you know, I don't need all the attention, but the fact that you guys are watching and you're motivating me, and you're taking time out of your busy day to say good job, champ. Keep it forward. Like, I live for that. And last but not least, you know, Jesus Christ and God, man. It's just, you know, I wake up every day, you know, the first people I thank. My eyes open, beat in my heart, breath in my lungs. I can't complain, man.
Amen. You can say a prayer if you want to, bro. I'm cool with it. I mean.
No, I'm good, man. I just, no weapons formed.
I'm
shall
just putting you on the spot, man. A lot of fighters like to say a prayer on the show before we hang up. And, you know, I've been called everything from Barbara Walters to a therapist to whatever. You know what? My philosophy in life is just keep it real and keep it rolling. And, Joey, you truly are straight 100, bro. And I really am honored you came on the show today. You're a blessing. And I look forward to the future, to having you back on and sharing your next fight. Until then, bro, God bless you. And keep motivating the world, bro.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Don. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. You have a good day. God bless.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry about the technical difficulties there. His signal's weak, but we're still able to get out a show. I'm not on point lately. I don't know, for some reason, you know, there's a lot of distractions going on in my life, and I need to get my head put back into the show 100. So I apologize to my listeners. I apologize to the fighters. I apologize to everybody. I need to get back on point. But I brought up a statement during the show. I've never walked this path in my life, and I'm 56 years old. None of us have ever been where we're at. We've never seen so much hate, We've never seen so much division. But we're better than this. We need to put our political views aside. We need to come together because we're a tremendous country and we're tremendous people. People risk their lives to come to a country that we don't even truly show enough appreciation for. And in these dark times, the only way we can make a change is to create the change we seek. On that note, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitcheran and Juan Ramirez, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, the 86ers with Alfred and Freddie, and One More Round with Mark. On that note, I wish you all a good afternoon, have a good day, and God bless.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love you.